Today on the 1012 podcast, myself, Andy, JSJ, and John Wheeler talk about the Big 12 championship game, Texas making the playoff and the weirdness with the playoff, Houston making a hire with Willie Fritz to run their football program. We look at every Big 12 bowl game, including naming our favorites, plus volleyball, hoops, and more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the 1012, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State. We are the flagship show of the 1012 Network. Find every show in the network at 1012network.com. And we are partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I am your host, Phillip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. I'm shedding a little tear. I'm pouring a little out. I'm feeling a little down because another college football season has essentially come and gone. Yes, we have bowl games. We'll talk about those. Yes, we have the playoff. We'll talk about that. But the season is over for many teams. Thus, the college football season is just about done. Now look, I will watch every bowl game imaginable. I don't want to hear that there's too many bowl games. Then you don't actually like college football. I'm sorry. You just don't. We're going to talk about the Big 12 bowl games today. We're going to talk about the Big 12 championship. We're going to talk about Texas in the playoff. We're going to talk about the All Big 12 awards. I'm not doing it all by myself because you don't want to listen to me rant for a full hour. I mean, you might, but I don't think that's great for show numbers. Joining me, as they always do, she is the vibe queen herself on a gimpy ankle, JSJ, Jamie Steyer Johnson.
I came back from Vegas last week, and when I went to my kids' basketball, went to basketball practice that Monday after I was obviously not recording here on Sunday. I was still recovering. We got back kind of late. I show up. I had no less than six kids ask me, when did you wake up this morning? Are you tired? I'm like, first of all, thanks. Good to see you too. Missed you. Second of all, I was in Vegas and I was going to keep talking, but they just like nodded knowledgeably like that made sense. And these are like sixth graders. I was like, get out of here. Stop talking to me. But also, I wasn't aware football was still going. So this is fun. Although Farmageddon, Snowmageddon, very fun.
It was fun. Also joining us, he is the host of the Rock Chalk podcast. Which covers the Kansas Jayhawks, the team that will be bowling this season. He is Andy Mitz.
Yeah, it's not the bowl game I wanted to be at, but you know what? I'll take it. It's still a bowl game. And it's been an interesting couple weeks here with all the fun stuff happening in Kansas basketball and KU volleyball and all that fantastic stuff. So it's been a blur, the end of the season. Although I will say, Phillip, the regular season is not over yet. We do have Army-Navy coming up on Saturday.
Fair enough. I didn't mean to diss the troops. Also, I never thought I'd see the day a Kansas fan would complain about the bowl game they're going to. Joining us as well, we call him the 1012 stats guy, the Lockheed stats guy. He is John Wheeler.
Hello. Happy to be back to talk statistics, data, and outrageous things that happen in college football. My company sponsoring a bowl game this year. My school is not playing in it, thank goodness, because that was terrible last year. Formerly of the Baylor Bears, now I work at Lockheed. I do stats, I model college football, and I'm excited to talk Big 12.
Very fun, John. We always appreciate you joining us. Let's start off with the Big 12 championship game. Texas a lot, Oklahoma State a little. I mean, it's 49-21. I think that's even that doesn't fairly represent just how much Texas dominated this game. I, I, I don't feel like we have to go into a deep breakdown here because we have a lot of things to get to. I will say this. Texas the last 2 weeks has looked as good as they looked against Alabama. Like the Texas we have seen the last 2 weeks to close out the season against Texas Tech and then in Arlington against Oklahoma State. And you can talk about how good or bad Texas Tech is or how Oklahoma State should have been there. I don't care about any of that stuff. Texas is focused. Texas is ready. Texas knew what they had to do. Texas knew what was in front of them to get a Big 12 championship, to put themselves in a spot to be in the playoff, of which they now are. And Texas showed up and showed out, and they were absolutely incredible on Saturday. I believe that Quinn Ewers set a Big 12 championship game passing record in this one. Like, it wasn't close. It was not a close game. Not remotely. Like, I know it's 49-21. You're like, yeah, they won by 28. That's not close. No, but it wasn't that close. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Big 12 championship game record. Previous passing record was Sam Bradford with 384 yards against Missouri back in 2008. Quinn Ewers put up 452, 35 of 46, four touchdowns and one interception. All right. That ties the number of TD passes with four, tying Baker Mayfield versus TCU in 2017 and Eli Roberson, Roberson versus Oklahoma in 2003. So Quinn now has the most passing yards in a Big 12 championship game and is tied with two other guys for most passing touchdowns in a Big 12 championship game. Yeah. Texas dominated this game. Absolutely, completely. Totally, utterly dominated this game, and they're looking really good heading into the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this game and was extremely disappointed. I wanted, at the very least, I wanted it to be a more competitive game, something that I could enjoy watching. Look, I fully recognize that Texas is the best team in the Big 12 this year. And it definitely was much easier to accept that reality when it was not Texas versus Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship. Like, you know, if one of those two teams were the best and took the home, the title, that would have been fine. But getting, you know, shut out by the two teams going to the SEC would have been like the worst thing possible. So once that didn't happen, you know, I was fine accepting the fate of Oklahoma State was going to get creamed by Texas because they're just that good. I do think that, you know, they match up very interestingly, I think, with the rest of the playoff teams. And of course, I've got all kinds of issues with the playoff, but that's, you know, we're not really here to talk about the playoff. So, but yeah, I mean, that game was over and kind of boring after the first quarter, unfortunately. So I don't really have a ton of takeaways from it other than I'm just glad it wasn't, you know, Texas beating Oklahoma.
Oh, you're letting me speak, John. It's fine. I didn't watch it. I was watching basketball. You go ahead.
Yeah, so I watched the game, and I thought Oklahoma State, they punt. They go 3 and out, 0 yards on their first possession. Texas, 4 plays, 39 yards, touchdown, you know, aided with penalties, both on the kick catch interference. You know, Oklahoma State get the ball back. 5 plays, 15 yards, punt. Texas, 4 plays, 84 yards, touchdown. And at that point, that game was over. There was no sign of Oklahoma State mounting a 14-point comeback. Texas looked on point. When they play their best, they are so, so good this year. And they've had moments where they didn't play their best. They've had games that they played without Quinn Ewers. But they've just been dominant. And their defense has really stood out to me. That's one thing that has the potential when they get to the playoffs to be a real differentiator, is defensive dominance. They will need that against Washington, who's going to really press their corners, which is maybe if the Texas defense has one weakness, it's at corner. So that'll be really interesting once they get to the playoff. But in the Big 12 title game, I mean, it was clear before the season that it was Texas. You know, they've had seasons where they were a top talent team. And I think this year they were, no kidding, you know, so far ahead of everyone else on talent. And it's not the first time since 2009 where Texas has been the most talented team in the conference, or perhaps the most talented team, but it is the first year that they put it all together and got the job done. So I thought that was just super impressive seeing them put the full game together. I thought they were still going to get left out of the playoffs until Alabama beat Georgia later in the day. But you know, really, really impressive performance on Saturday.
Texas will face Washington in the first round of the playoffs, the semifinals. They are the 3 seed as of right now. On three, I believe. No, Action Network currently has Texas as a 2-point favorite early. Now, that's not Vegas, so we'll see what Vegas decides. I haven't seen any numbers drop from Circa yet. I would expect to see those probably soon.
I saw that. I saw the ESPN ones. ESPN, I think, had 3.5 for Texas.
Okay. Okay, the playoff.
I'm sorry, it's at 4 for Texas now.
I'm just gonna unload a barrage of thoughts because they're funny to me. Florida State got screwed. Florida State got screwed. Florida State went undefeated. Yes, they're on their third string quarterback. You notice that those there were. I'm gonna put fans, people in the media, already before they'd even played that game, coming out with the justification for Florida State not being in the playoff if they went undefeated because they're going to be on their third string quarterback. And that's not the same team, almost as if, and that's basically what the committee chair echoed, almost like that narrative was being established long before that decision had to be made. Interesting. I mean, it's not like we've ever had a situation where a team went into the playoff with their third string quarterback and no one seemed to care then. Ohio State 2014. That team had a loss. But, you know, it's fine. But it's Phillip, fine that this is.
Please, you think they're going to leave the SEC out?
Oh, I'm not. I know. Please. I know. No.
Yeah, I was saying that's really all it's about.
Yes. No. How this is a TV product. Pretend. This is a TV product run by ESPN, who happens to basically be the SEC network. Florida State has every right to be pissed off. Their athletic director, I suggest you go and read his statement. It's fantastic. I suggest you read Mike Norvell's statement. I suggest you read the ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips statement and tell him to shove it. I'm fine with Florida State. They got every right to be pissed. I'm fine with Mike Norvell. They've got every right to be pissed. Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, can shove it because we would have this problem this year. We would have a 12-team playoff if the stupid alliance had never frickin' happened. Okay? We would have 12 teams. Florida State would be in the playoff, but we aren't. We don't. We can't because the alliance, the dumbest thing, the only thing that those three conferences did. Oh, by the way, again, one of those conferences is dead and one of them is probably the next to die, but the Big Ten's doing just fine. So good job on that one, Jim Phillips. You actually are the one who screwed Florida State by not having a 12-team playoff. But let's set that aside because it is actually a bunch of old men who decided that Alabama should make the playoff, not Florida State, even though they're a 13-0, people, well, it's the quarterback situation. No, it's bullshit. You know it's not. That's just the argument you're going to use because that's an unprecedented situation to decide to make. But you're only doing it this year. I'm stand by this. The only reason they're willing to set a level of precedence like this year is because next year's a 12-team playoff and it doesn't mean anything because you can set all the precedent you want because all the precedent goes out the window when it goes from a 14 playoff to a 12-team playoff. So they got to get away with bullshit and making sure that Alabama got in. I hate it for Florida State. The ACC is now going to implode, which is also dumb. Can we ignore the Florida State's going to implode because of this? Like it is, but like it's going to be a 12-team playoff. Why does this it's not staying four, 12. It's bullshit. Alabama shouldn't be here. They're probably going to win the national championship now, but congratulations to Nick Saban on another title. I cede the floor.
The rumors are already swirling of how the AC is going.
We are not using that guy's stuff. I'm not going to do it. I am not. No. Every blind squirrel finds a nut. A broken clock's right twice a day.
I wasn't acknowledging the specifics. I know. All I was saying is generally. Well, and I will say that I also saw people saying earlier today that if Florida State got left out, the ACC would probably, they would probably be out of the ACC by the end of the day. Obviously an exaggeration, but I mean, it is factually like a big blow to the structure of the ACC to have that occur.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I thought we were going to
go ahead.
Sit down and do a, like a Big 12 draft of all the teams we wanted out of the ACC after Florida State got left out today. On the pod, each of us.
You know. I mean, we could still do that.
Let's see. Florida State to start with, because if the Big Ten takes them, they can't hold up the we care about academics and the SEC doesn't want them. So let's take Florida State number one.
We already have a Florida team, so.
Well, they'd appreciate somebody close by. Let's take Duke.
They have a travel partner now.
Let's take Duke because this is a basketball conference, and I would love to have Duke, and good luck keeping the Big 12 out of an NCAA
Duke
tournament.
And North Carolina.
North Carolina is going to get gobbled up by the SEC and Big 10. That's a bidding war. We're not going to get them, but we can get Duke because they're not a football school. So take Duke. Take
as long as we take Virginia Tech and not Virginia.
Take Louisville. Take Louisville. Virginia is an academic school. They probably would get to go to the Big Ten. And if Virginia Tech's available, we'll take Virginia Tech. If Virginia Tech is not available, we'll take NC State. If NC State's not available, we'll take
Pitt.
Oh, just to make West Virginia happy and to make the backyard
brawl
be called
game. Stanford.
We needed that laugh, Jamie. But by the way, Philip, I appreciate you doing the entire rant that I was going to do about the playoffs. So I don't have to do that now.
You're welcome if you'd like to. It's fine.
No. You basically hit every point
Repeat
I was going to hit.
Repeat it word for word. So. Do it for memory.
No, I don't have it memorized. Sorry.
I should have scripted that and sent it to you, Andy, and the bit would have been that you'd literally just said the exact... You stole what I was going to say, and then you just repeat it word for word. That would have been great. John, since you pitched it, we're not doing this. We're not doing the ACC thing. John, please continue your thought in regards to the playoff. John, you're the stats guy here. Let's just
that
ask
you. The adults in the room.
Did the committee get it right?
So, for those of you who do not follow me on Twitter/X, I'm over at CFP Resume Ranks, and all year we track how each team's resume progresses toward an eventual playoff selection. And going into the championship weekend, it was clear that the resume for Texas and Alabama was far ahead of Florida State. And frankly, Florida State and Ohio State and Oregon, you know, Texas and Alabama should have been ahead of Oregon, you know, ever since the first committee ranking came out. So that was a mistake. You know, the committee rankings didn't align with the data that was coming in. And then we play championship weekend and you get losses for Georgia, loss for Oregon. So that knocks Oregon out. Georgia resume falls behind Florida State, but stays ahead of Ohio State. Alabama and Texas both win. Both are still ahead of Florida State. So top four resumes by a pretty good margin were Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama. And those were the committee rankings. So from a resume standpoint, you know, being an equal blend of the eye test, you know, we watch games, we see things, you know, when I'm evaluating, I've got like 80 different strength rating systems feeding in, including things like SP plus, FEI, FPI, Sagarin, you know, all sorts of Kelly Ford, all sorts of really good ones, into a composite. So you've got team strength or the eye test, and then you've got raw resume, which is who you beat. You know, someone on TV gets on ESPN and they say, well, this team has the better resume. They've got better wins than the other team. That's kind of the raw resume for us. And so you put those two things together and those four teams stand out way far and above the other contending teams that were in the discussion. So Florida State as a top four resume, they didn't have it. You know, with or without their quarterback situation, they were not a top four overall resume. That said, I personally would have, you know, strongly desired seeing their inclusion. You know, I've got personal beliefs that do not agree with the modeling that I do. You know, I can model and say that the committee absolutely got it right. They picked the four best resumes, as they have done every time since I started tracking in 2016. So there's complete and total consistency from that perspective. However, name a sport where you can play a season, not lose a single game for the entire season, and not have a chance to win a title without some kind of probation or suspension getting in your way. And you know, there is no sport other than FBS Division I college football. You know, even in FCS, you get, you know, the full playoff system, and every other division of college football, there's a playoff. Pro football, you've got the playoffs. But, you know, in the sport that we love, the sport that we follow, you know, FBS football, it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen for a school like Liberty, who has a really weak schedule, but they'll win, you know, every game they've played. If they go off and beat Oregon and whatever, what, the Fiesta Bowl, you know, they ought to claim a national title. You know, who's to say that they aren't the best team? They win every game they played. Florida State, if they go off and beat Georgia in the Orange Bowl, they should claim a national championship game. They're a Power 5 team. They played two SEC teams during the regular season. beat both, beat LSU much worse than Alabama did when Alabama played LSU. You know, Heisman winner or potential Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels, he lit Alabama up, but their defense couldn't quite hang into that game, whereas Florida State shut him down in week one. So you win every game you have on the schedule. You've got tons of great wins or good wins, top 25 wins. You shut down a top 15 team to win your conference title playing your third string quarterback, and you get left out. And then that just sucks. So Florida State, not a top four resume. I understand why the committee didn't put them in from the perspective I operate from, but it still sucks.
Well, and that's the other thing too, right? Like you look at the normal argument, right, for why someone can go undefeated. It's because you didn't play anybody, because you didn't challenge yourself on the non-conference, or you played like one good non-conference and the rest of your conference sucked. Like, you know, thinking about G5, they don't get the opportunity because of the strength of their conference. They don't get that opportunity because typically they'll play, you know, a mid-level P5 when they play a P5. That wasn't the case at all for Florida State. If they played two SEC teams, beat them both. Like in the ACC, there was plenty of really good or decent teams that they played that, you know, are held in high regard by the committee, and, you know, plenty of ranked teams. So it's not like they had an awful schedule. They just didn't have the best schedule. I was looking though at like the ESPN strength of record statistic, and unless I misread it or they showed the wrong thing on the screen, they were talking about how Florida State's strength of record was number three compared to like Texas is number four. Maybe it was Alabama's number four. So it's like, it's not like when you look at the actual results they put together that they're out of place. I think it really just came down to the fact that, well, we can't have, you know, the SEC get shut out, and, you know, they're the ones that are missing their starting quarterback. So we can say, oh, the team looks different now. Like, it's just a bunch of BS, a bunch of opportunity for them to just do whatever the heck they wanted anyway.
Yeah. I think two things. One, it's easy to imagine the situation where you flip the teams, you know, Alabama unbeaten and they lose a quarterback late in the season and they go off, they win their conference title. They're dominant on,
but they
defense.
Would still be in.
They'd be in.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, so there's something to be said for, you know, as dominant of a name brand as Florida State is, they've literally won a national title within the last, what, 12 years or 13 years. And, you know, it happens, you know, because they're in the ACC, they don't get any support or favor. The second thing is, this was like the most chalk year of college football that we've had maybe ever. I mean, you've got eight teams at the top that collectively, I believe in the regular season, went something like 91-1 against everyone else in college football. I think Texas losing to Oklahoma was the only loss for the top eight teams outside of the top eight teams. You had Oregon lose to Washington twice. You had Ohio State lose to Michigan. You had Georgia lose to Alabama. Alabama lose to Texas. And that's it. You know, so the Texas lost to Oklahoma, the only one outside of the top eight. So you've got eight teams that don't lose to the rest of college football. You've got four pipelines, you would think, to the top four teams. You've got Michigan beats Ohio State. That's one. Washington beats Oregon twice. That's two. You've got Texas beating Alabama, who beat Georgia. That would be your third pipeline. And then you've got Florida State going unbeaten in your fourth pipeline. And that's just not what the committee chose to do.
Also, the rankings for the end, these last rankings. Oklahoma finishing 12th behind Ole Miss and Penn State.
That's silly.
Is ridiculous. Like, stop. Penn State did what this year? Exactly. They placed two marquee teams and were uncompetitive with both. I mean,
yeah.
20-12 to Ohio State, 24-15 to Michigan. Otherwise, you beat up on who? You beat Iowa.
Look, they got that bump because they're going to have Andy Kotelnicki for the bowl game.
But I mean, I'm glad they're playing all this. OU probably should have been in a New Year's Six bowl.
Oh yeah,
like, Penn State being in there is dumb. Ole Miss being in there is ridiculous. But like, this year just felt really like we just like, in a year where, especially early on, we thought we might get something different. It wasn't just chalky. Like They also just were like, well, we're just going to go with who we usually like to put here. Penn State. Like,
it wasn't Missouri that it was chalky. Two. It was that they pretty much erased everybody else from any kind of contention.
Awful. And there's also no evaluation or reevaluation of the season. I thought that was really wild. You know, Texas jumps from 7 to 3.
Yeah.
So you look at the final rankings. Okay, so who's the top ranked team with a loss? Texas. Well, who did Texas lose to? Gosh, it's 10-2 Oklahoma. And there's no reevaluation of Oklahoma's positioning relative to Ole Miss, Missouri, and Penn State. You know, Penn State's one good win devalued. Iowa doesn't score a point in the Big Ten title game. You've got, you know, Ole Miss, their best win, perhaps you would think is LSU, and then you've got Tulane as their next best win, and Tulane doesn't win the AAC title, so they take a loss. You know, it's like there's just there. The committee, it felt like they just left things as they were from the first ranking, unless you won or lost a meaningful game. Otherwise, it just was chalk. So it's not just that the play at the top was chalky; it was the committee rankings themselves. Just
the very one thing that I will say. The last year of a 14 playoff, it's only fitting, it's super poetic that the first year had tons of controversy and nobody knew what the hell was going on. And the last year, there's tons of controversy and nobody knows what the hell's going on.
No, we know what the hell's going on. No. We know what's going on. This is not
sorry. A rational football fan who does not know what the hell's going on.
This is not a playoff, it's an invitational. Okay. Fair. You have a 14 playoff for 5 power conferences. And G5 is not given representation. And I don't want to hear about Cincinnati making it under the most incredible, impossible to recreate circumstances. Like, this thing had to expand. If you're against expansion, sorry, like, it had to. It's still at 12. It's kind of like, at least where it's a lot better. Like, this is the only sport. And I don't want to hear about how much harder it is and the talent, and the schedules, and the level of competition. The only sport in America that is allowed to get away with being invitational style postseasons. National championship. Determining the national championship is entirely like, well, it's because we think these two are the best. So we've just decided to pick the two or the four we like. And that's it. Does it matter that you went undefeated in a Power 5 conference? You're not really a Power 5 conference. We've decided the ACC's not this year. Uh-huh. Well, you're third stringer. All right, I'm done talking the playoff. This is a Big 12. This is Big 12. So let's talk a little Big 12. Let's talk to Big 12. We'll get bowl games in a minute, but let's talk about the biggest news that came out of the weekend, I think, is that Houston now has a new head coach. Willie Fritz, no longer the head coach at Tulane, officially announced by Houston on Sunday. This one, the marquee names were Willie Fritz, Jeff Traylor, and then, of course, Barry Odom at UNLV. Yes, Gary Patterson would like to have gotten this job. I think every time Gary Patterson's name gets attached to a job, it's because Gary Patterson is out there asking to get hired for a job. Although, I did see the Reddit post that said that this is 2 years in a row that a team, after firing or removing Gary Patterson from their coaching staff, made the college football playoff. So, y'all go hire Gary Patterson this year, and the next year you're going to be in the playoff. This is science.
Say how long he has to be on staff?
It didn't, because he wasn't even on Texas' staff for like the full year. But it's just the next year, so just hire him.
Come sign a 1 week contract right now.
Right, bring him on as a bowl consultant.
It's not too late.
Kansas, go.
It is not too late.
It's never too late to hire Gary Patterson for a week. Willie Fritz, look.
I'll take my cut of the contract, buddy.
Yo, I don't want to hear about it's just the last 2 years or blah, 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 blah. You know what happens when you hire coaches that win, no matter what level of football they're in? They tend to continue to win football games.
Funny how that works.
He won 2 national championships at the NJCAA level. He coached at Central Missouri for a very long time and won a lot of football games there. I was at Sam Houston State for 4 years. Well, I think he lost in the national championship game 2 times. And now he turned Tulane into one of the worst programs in college football FBS level to a team that won the AAC last year, knocked off USC, had a wonderful season, and then had a very nice season this year. And oh, he lost in the conference championship game because 30 minutes beforehand, certain individuals for certain news outlets in the state of Texas decided that they would go ahead and release the news that Houston was going to hire him 30 minutes before the game, as if that's not a little bit kind of like, come on now, this could wait till after, because you know players saw that. You know players for Tulane saw that. Look, this is an incredible hire for Houston. I think this is a fantastic hire. He obviously has experience in the state of Texas. Like I mentioned, he was a head coach at Sam Houston State. A lot of conversation is he still has a lot of relationships inside the state. He has adopted whatever offense he needs to have success. Like this is Kansas hiring Lance Leipold. This is, we're just going to go hire a guy. We don't care that he's older, but he's a guy that wins at every level of football he has coached at. And he has won at a high level at every level of college football he has coached at. Maybe it takes him a couple of years to get it going, but he will get it going. He'll figure out the right recipe to get things cooking. I like Jeff Traylor. I am glad that Baylor will be able to hire him next offseason when Dave Aranda gets fired a year later than he should have. But I love this hire for Houston. I think it's fantastic. I am adopting the I love every hire that's made unless it's the worst hire ever. And so you either get an A plus or an F. Yes, Cincinnati, I am referencing you hiring Scott Satterfield as an F. This is an A hire.
I mean, yeah. There's really not much else to say. Willie Fritz has been on the short list for a Power 5 job for, gosh, a long time. He would have been the head coach
at Georgia Tech this year had Georgia Tech been willing to wait till after the AAC championship game to get the deal done. But Georgia Tech was impatient, so they didn't hire him.
Yeah, he was on the list for Kansas. He was on the list for Kansas State before Klieman got hired. He was on the list for a lot of – actually, he was on the list for Kansas twice. That's how long he has been eyed by a bunch of people as a potential head coach at the Power 5 level. So I'm not surprised that someone finally pulled the trigger. I do agree. It was a little dirty to do it when it was released, but yeah, I mean, Willie Fritz, there's not much that you can say there isn't anything bad you can really say about the way that he coaches, the way that he builds the program.
Yeah. I mean, you took, Philip, I think every single talking point that I had handy for Willie Fritz and just regurgitated it out without knowing I had those all sitting aside. But yeah,
he's still Andy's and now I've stolen John's.
It's a great, great role here.
Philip's the hive mind. He's absorbing us. You don't want to absorb me. You don't want my brain.
Vibes, please. More of them. They're delicious.
That is a out of context quote that will not, I don't know. That's going to be really weird when someone pulls that.
I need intros for all of us individually, and I just need one that's Jamie going, "You don't want to absorb me." That and the one I have that says AIM sucks.
I have some
I bet some you do have time. That saved somewhere.
It is saved.
Prominent. Saved. Oh, multiple saved. Places.
I'll get a soundboard one day.
Yeah, one of those, you just press the button and all the...
AIM sucks, Jamie. I don't know.
You know, if I ever get back on our Discord has a soundboard.
Oh. Sorry, John. I continue to interrupt you.
No. It's good. I mean, Houston, it's great hire. Will it work out? I don't know, because I don't know what Houston's future looks like in terms of the new Big 12 pecking order. And you know, it's so wide open. It's hard to know if it's going to be a revolving door of contenders in the new Big 12, or if there will be a few teams that rise to the top as perennial contenders. Feels like a lot of programs are trying to jockey to put themselves in position now that Oklahoma and Texas are on the way out. And if it works out for Houston and they elevate themselves to a perennial top Big 12 team, that's great for them. But this is the time to take swings, to try to do something different and elevate yourself in the conference, which I wish my school had done, but they did not. So
your school, by the way, for those who don't know,
Baylor. So went to Baylor undergrad, grad school, SMU. And so not a big TCU fan. However, I've got great appreciation for all of the schools in the Big 12.
It's going to be funny when Baylor still doesn't hire Jeff Traylor and Rhett Lashley as the net head coach of the Baylor Bears. I'm kidding. whoever the next
knows. No. They'll just keep Aranda for another 5 years.
Yeah. No, he's good for, like, at this point, it wouldn't shock me if he got to the Big 12 championship game next year and then went, you know, 8-whatever the 2 years after that. I like Dave Aranda. Yes. I don't know. If you want to knock on Fritz, I think it's just the fact that if you're knocking Fritz, it's because you have weird expectation of how long someone should be the head coach at a school. He is 63 years old. Like, I don't think he's going to be the head coach at Houston for 20 years. But I would say this. Typically, when you get someone who is older in college football and is they become a bit, let's use Gary Patterson as an example. They get a bit curmudgeon and stuck in their ways, unwilling to adapt or change to what college football or what college athletics have become. Willie Fritz seems like a chameleon as he has adjusted whatever needs to be adjusted to continue to win. And so in that note, will he be the head coach for Houston for a long time? I don't know. Probably not. Again, at age 63, you never know. He may want to hang it up after 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But I do think this is the kind of hire that he will have success. He will set you up for success. And even if it is a shorter term as head coach, I think Houston's going to be in a better position long term. And again, this new Big 12, John, as you mentioned, like I don't believe, much to the chagrin of Utah fans, that any team's going to come in here and just dominate this conference in that way. I think it's more likely you have a handful of teams over the next 10 to 20 years who win the conference on a more consistent basis. But I do think you're going to have teams who rise up and win one off here and win one off there and make the championship game here and there. That's what the conference has been anyways, even with Oklahoma and Texas. If we look at the conference championship game from ever since it came back, like, we've had a new team until this year make it every single year. And the last few years we've had Texas once, Oklahoma State twice, Baylor once, Kansas State once, TCU once. Like, we've had all these different teams participate. I don't think that's suddenly going to change because Colorado, Arizona State, and Utah are going to get here. I know Utah fans are just dead set that Utah is going to come in here and run this conference. And I'm not saying that they're not going to be a pain in the ass, a difficult out, and probably not get themselves the Big 12 trophy within the first couple of years. I'm just saying,
hey, the Sportsman of the Year is going to lead Colorado to the promised land. So
before he leaves. But I love
they
this.
Might not make it here before that.
I love this hire. I think it's a fantastic hire. You know what? You know how I would like to celebrate this hire? By going to Charlie Hustle, Vintage Inspired Clothing Company, based out of Kansas City, that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel and is big fans of the Big 12. Look, if you're a Texas fan, they have for you a Texas Big 12 championship t-shirt. Oh, by the way, they put out a Texas Big 12 volleyball championship, like, champions t-shirt
that
as
went
well.
Hard.
It is a damn good shirt.
It's a great
and now
shirt.
I'm fully expecting Big 12, like, conference champ shirts for every sport the rest of the year. Now, we got volleyball. We got football for Texas. We need us... I didn't see one for soccer. I didn't see one for soccer. Then you go bug Charlie Hustle and see if they'll get on that. I expect continued things for men's and women's basketball. I would be shocked if they didn't. Maybe some baseball, some softball. So keep an eye on Charlie Hustle. Keep an eye on right now because they're continuing to do 12 days of hustle deals for the next few for next week plus. I mean, we're in day 3 of this thing, if I remember correctly. So go check it out. If there's something you want and it doesn't fall under a deal that's currently being offered, don't forget our promo code 10-12-15, TEN1215 for 15% off all non-sale items. Y'all, just go check it out. Go to charliehustle.com. Check out the more than 30 schools they have available, including every Big 12 school currently except Cincinnati. They do have Colorado. And I know they're working to get Cincinnati and Arizona and Arizona State and Utah. And if you are fans of those schools, go tell your university, not Charlie Hustle, to get it. Tell your university to let Charlie Hustle have the rights to make cool stuff for you and your school. They've got you covered for all of your collegiate apparel needs, so shop at charliehustle.com today. Plenty of deals going all the way up till Christmas, and if there's something that you want, there's not a deal for 10, 12, 15 for 15% off all non-sale items. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. All right, we got bowl games to talk about. Let's talk about these. Let's list the bowl games so that we all have them in order. Y'all ready? You got your paper and pencil ready to go?
Wait, hold on. Is this the one that's the list that's in the chat?
Yes, I believe this list is in the chat.
Can I read it? Because then I'm not going to say anything else.
That's, you know what? It's yours.
Thank Do you. folks, here we go. We've got Independence Bowl. That's Texas Tech versus Cal, just like we all thought. That was obvious. The Gasparilla Bowl, huge upset here. UCF got in there, going up against Georgia Tech. Really didn't see that one coming. Guaranteed Rate Bowl, we've got Kansas versus UNLV. No joke. That's gonna be a weird clash of fan bases. There's weird stuff happening on social media in those fan bases all the time. That's gonna be really interesting. That one lady that when TJ came back to Iowa State lost her mind. We should find her and see how she feels. The Duke's Mayo Bowl. This one disturbs me on a fundamental level, and I'm scared to watch it for what might happen on the sideline. That's West Virginia versus North Carolina. Texas, the Texas Bowl. Any guesses where that one happens? Oklahoma State versus Texas A&M. A&M's the home team. It's in Texas. The Pop-Tart Bowl. I'd have a blueberry Pop-Tart. That's K-State versus NC State. They should have to have Pop-Tarts that coincide with the color of the team. And so there should be a blueberry Pop-Tart for Kansas State. No, Wildberry. That's the one with the purple frosting. Sorry. Alamo Bowl, Oklahoma versus Arizona. The Liberty Bowl, Iowa State versus Memphis. I retweeted someone else's post of the thread from the last time Iowa State was there of people from Memphis finding out how well Iowa State travels. Go ahead and find that on my timeline. Pull that back up. It's a banger. Finally, the Sugar Bowl, Texas versus Washington. And then our little side note there, Las Vegas, Utah versus Northwestern. You did it, Utah. Congratulations.
You made a bowl game. All right, let's kind of talk about these.
And your favorite, the happiest place on earth, if you're from Utah.
Which I'll offer some notes and thoughts on each one. But Annie, let's start with you. Which one of these is the one you're most excited about? Also, here's your opening to talk about Kansas versus UNLV and the Guaranteed Rate Bowl out in Phoenix.
Yeah, I can tell you, I'm not super excited for that one, other than the fact that it's Kansas. Like, I'm
again,
not
again Kansas fans complaining about a bowl game.
Yeah, weird. You know, a lot of weird things have happened this year. We'll just, you know, add it into all that. But no, I mean, look, I don't know that I'm necessarily too upset about having it out in Arizona, but I at least expected it to be a Big Ten team, not random UNLV that Kansas gets to play next year in the non-conference. So I was a little disappointed that they got shuffled all the way down there. It is a little strange, but I mean, I don't know. That game is going to be a good game. I don't know why. Like, last I saw, Kansas was favored by a decent amount, if I remember correctly. But, you know, the other game I think that actually sounds super interesting is the Alamo Bowl. Oklahoma, Arizona, two really good teams, I think, that are maybe a little bit underappreciated coming out of the year. Arizona came out of nowhere, and it's going to be a hell of an addition to the Big 12 next year. Like, we, you know, everyone was talking about how it's, you know, it's Utah and maybe Colorado will be okay. And oh yeah, by the way, we're also getting Arizona and Arizona State. They're not that, you know, that throwaway anymore. Like, I'm not really sure what to make of Arizona, how well it's going to translate over to the Big 12, but you know, we're old Big 12 going out versus new Big 12 coming in. I am legitimately torn about who I'm rooting for in this one. I think I might be rooting for Arizona.
No moving forward Big 12 fan will be rooting for Oklahoma in that game.
That's fair.
Is not me trying to be like, like, let's all be honest. I'm curious how many Big 12 fans will root for Texas in the playoff. I kind of want to see what happens in the playoff. I'm very excited about that one, but like, I can't imagine any Big 12 fans who are not fans of Oklahoma who will not be rooting for Arizona in that game to beat Oklahoma as Arizona comes in and Oklahoma leaves. It just seems very.
That game is also a win-win for your average neutral Big 12 fan, because either the current Big 12 team wins, even though they're leaving, or the Big 12 team coming in wins, and then you can hold that over Oklahoma
State. No, because the OU Texas fans are already chanting SEC, whether they want to say it's to be ironic and to troll or whatever, or not. Like, OU beats Arizona, they'll chant SEC at Arizona for joining the Big 12 and OU going off. Like, let's just, like, no, that it's not a win-win. Okay, John, which one's your favorite? And since Baylor didn't make a bowl game, I'll let you pick two.
Well, first off, I hope Arizona wins that game, and just a Pac-12 team chanting SEC at a Big 12 team would be so great to hear in the background on TV. But, you know, yes, Baylor did not make a bowl game this year, so I'm afraid we're turning into the Kansas of the late aughts, or the, you know, the 2010, 2011, 2012 Kansas, where Baylor's fantastic year after year in basketball and really bad at football. So we're hoping that that doesn't happen, but perhaps it will. Who knows? But as far as the bowl games we've got, I think there's several interesting games. I certainly appreciate West Virginia versus North Carolina. That one could be a lot of fun. I don't know if Drake May will play in that one. He may sit out on his way to the draft. But if he's trying to put up one last great, because North Carolina, they kind of stumbled down the stretch. If he's looking for one last showcase game, that could be a lot of fun. Oklahoma State, they really struggled down the line, down the finish line. I don't know if they'll put up a great game against Texas A&M or not. Is that one could be a lot of fun. Texas A&M is way better than people think on paper. They're a much better team than if you just read the headlines about them. I think I agree, though, with Andy that Oklahoma, Arizona, that's the cream of the crop for the Big 12 non-playoff games, because you get the look at Arizona coming in, a team that could easily win the whole conference next year if they can keep their team together and build around the roster they've got going on out in Tucson. So I think that's easily the top game. Really interested to see what happens in the Pop-Tart Bowl with Kansas State versus NC State. That should be Avery Johnson starting with Will Howard transferring. So I expect that to look a lot more like what Kansas State will be next year. They rated way stronger this year in the power ratings than they were ranked consistently. So you know, you'd see them squabbling for, you know, upper 20s rankings or mid-20 rankings in the AP poll or the committee rankings, and they'd be sitting at 12 or 13 just in all of the different power rating systems. And so I think they're a very good team. North Carolina State is not bad, but they're not amazing. So that'll be a good indication of, or like a good viewpoint at what Kansas State's going to look like next year, because I think they may be the favorite in the conference, or certainly one of them.
I like every matchup, and I know I'm biased. I'm a Big 12 fan, and I love bowl games, so bowl games are a ton of fun. Texas Tech Cal is the December 16th. It's the first day of bowl games. Like, it's a whole day of bowl games, and we get a Big 12 game in the first day. I am thrilled. What is it? There's six games. There are six bowl games on Saturday, December 16th. Six of them. You get UCLA, Boise State. That one could be interesting. But you get Cal and Texas Tech, 8:15 p.m. kickoff for a game that's played in Louisiana. Make sure I understand this. There's a game in California that kicks off at 6:30. There's a game in Louisiana that kicks off at 8:15. That makes so much sense. Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah. Could be fun. I'm intrigued. It's P5, P5. I'm sure Texas is just going to be happy to be there. UCF, Georgia Tech. It was actually supposed to be UCF, Duke, but UCF and Duke played last year. And so I believe it was this bowl and the Birmingham Bowl actually traded ACC teams. So Duke's now playing Troy in Birmingham, Alabama, and Georgia Tech's playing UCF. UCF gets a shot at a P5 school. And I get that UCF is now a P5 school, but I think only having one P5, G5 matchup, like, it is good opportunity. Georgia Tech's been a fun story this year. UCF's looking to end the year on a winning note. This game is in Tampa. UCF fans, I think, are probably going to show out for this one. I'm very interested in this game. Kansas UNLV. Yeah, I'm sorry Kansas didn't get a Big Ten team. I was much more excited about Kansas versus Minnesota or Northwestern or somebody like that. But
especially since if it had been Minnesota, it would have been an actual rematch of the last time that Kansas went to back-to-back bowl games, because they played Minnesota in the Insight Bowl in 2008. So that would have been like a really cool storyline to be able to talk about. But
yeah, you know. Utah Northwestern in Las Vegas sounds really, really not sexy. But here we are. I'll take it. Kansas fans. Like I know I'm making jokes at Andy about him not being unhappy about a bowl game, but I get it. It's UNLV, the Mountain West runner up. Like, it's been a really good season for UNLV. It's a really fun G5 story, but I get for Kansas, like, you'd like to play somebody who is a P5. OSU A&M, Mike Gundy gets up for bowl games. Mike Gundy cares about bowl games. Mike Gundy got into a fight with Mike Holder, the former athletic director, about banners for bowl wins going in the practice facility. Like, Mike Gundy cares about bowl games. OSU will, unless they're just not healthy or they have a mass exodus in the transfer portal like last year, and I don't think they're going to, but we'll see. OSU will care about this game. Plus, it's in Texas and Houston. That means that OSU fans will show up, and I'm curious what A&M fans will do for this game since they just hired a new head coach. Is Mike Elko coaching this game? I don't know. This is the second straight year Oklahoma State will play a bowl game against a team who just fired their head coach, and their head coach, the season's head coach, will not be the head coach in the bowl game. So that's fun for OSU. Duke's Mayo Bowl. This is supposed to be ACC-SEC. The SEC didn't have enough bowl teams. So West Virginia goes in, and I freaking love that the Big 12 is going to have the Pop-Tart Bowl and the Duke's Mayo Bowl. You're going to have the Duke's Mayo Bowl where you dump mayonnaise on the winning coach, and the Pop-Tart Bowl where there's going to be a human-sized edible Pop-Tart mascot that the winning team gets to consume.
John said, I'm interested to see what happens in the Pop-Tart Bowl, that's all I thought. It's like, I don't care about the game. I just want to see what the deal is with this giant Pop-Tart guy.
I'm doing these side-by-side because you have two Big 12 teams versus two teams from the state of North Carolina. Go Big 12. Also, the two of the more interesting, just like fun bowl games. I need to see Neil Brown covered in mayonnaise, and I need to see Chris Klieman eat.
I don't need to see anyone covered in mayonnaise.
I need all these things. I need all these things.
But what I need to know is, are they going to have butter there for the edible Pop-Tart?
No.
Stop. You guys haven't heard about people putting butter on Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, I know. My wife does it. It's weird.
It is weird.
My wife also eats Karo syrup on cornbread. Okay?
Like, I didn't know this was a thing. I thought this was something that I was going to have to roast Andy over. Not that it was just like a capital T thing.
I live in Arkansas, okay? It's weird, Jamie. Weird things.
I was though also
I live
making
in Iowa. What
I was also
you trying
making
to say?
Reference to
you
the
just put corn
guy,
on everything.
The Family Guy song, you know, have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart?
Also news to me.
So.
Okay. Anyways, two of the more fun bowl games. I really wish the Cheez-It Bowl was still a Big 12 bowl, because if we had Cheez-Its, Pop-Tarts, and mayonnaise, it would be the trifecta of food bowl games.
What a combination. Cheez-Its, Pop-Tarts, and mayonnaise.
That's a part of a well-balanced breakfast, baby.
Cheez-Its, Pop-Tarts, and mayonnaise? Oh, my.
Well, no, throw it all in a
Tony
bowl.
The Tiger Sun Bowl to complete that well-balanced breakfast.
And the Sun Bowl is Oregon State Notre Dame. Like, the Sun Bowl got themselves a heck of a matchup for a bowl all the way out there in El Paso, Texas. I love that. That's awesome. Alamo Bowl is awesome because it's current Big 12 versus future Big 12. Like, I think it's fun. I might be the only person on the face of the earth who likes the Liberty Bowl, because I enjoy the opportunity to go to Memphis, go to Beale Street, have some good food, drink some good drinks, get Ubered to the game. I know the stadium is crap. They're going to whatever. I hate, this is the other Big 12 G5, I hate that Iowa State has to play Memphis. This is the second time that Iowa State will play Memphis in Memphis's home stadium. Oh, by the way, side story. The reason the Liberty Bowl is a Big 12 bowl affiliate, because it didn't used to be, was because when Iowa State went there to play Tulsa in 2012, Iowa State fans showed up in such fervor, fury, excitement, and in such large quantity that the Big 12 went, oh, okay, and negotiated with the Liberty Bowl to become a Big 12 bowl game. That is why the Liberty Bowl is a Big 12 bowl game when it didn't.
And what you're
be.
Saying is it's Iowa
Thanks
State's fault.
Thanks for nothing, Jamie.
It is Iowa State's fault. If you don't like the Liberty Bowl, it's Iowa State's fault. If you do like the Liberty Bowl, I live two hours from there.
It, Jamie.
I do.
It's football. You got nothing to blame on me here, pal.
If it was volleyball or women's basketball, we can point the finger at Jamie. It's not, so we won't.
Honestly, though, if it was volleyball or women's basketball, then it wouldn't be a big deal.
It'd be more great. Big 12 volleyball games in the city.
Like I'm saying it'd be good as opposed to, you know, the basketball, like the indoor facilities in Memphis are pretty good.
I don't know where this episode has gone. And it's many, many, many places. It's so funny. We bring John on to be our stats guy and it's like, hey, let's just lose it today. Jamie's
just today.
Yeah. Definitely. Just today. Like this doesn't normally happen.
Let's go back to stats. I like that. Yeah. Statistics. Did you know that in the bowl game slate, the Big 12 I don't care what Vegas says because Vegas is dumb. Just because no one can ever beat Vegas doesn't mean that Vegas isn't dumb. I've got the Big 12 favored in 7 of the 9 bowl games. And, you know, that's with Oklahoma over Arizona. So, you know, maybe you think of it as 6 of the 9 for next year's Big 12 squad. But either way, in theory, if favorites hold, you know, the data I've got, I'm somewhere around 75% on the season, just straight up. And so you put that into play against 9 games, and you're probably going to get 7 of them right. So even if the two, Oklahoma State and West Virginia, would be the underdogs in their 2 bowl games relative to the data I've got. And so if you miss 2 others and you're still at 5-4. So I think more than likely the Big 12 is in a great position to finish bowl season with a winning bowl record, which will reflect well on the conference going into next year, I think. So, you know, I don't need to read numbers off of the screen, but it's looking favorable for the Big 12 if they can hang together and pull out some wins.
That's
What happens in a bowl game should have zero effect on what happens next year, unless we have a winning record, in which case the Big 12 is awesome and to all of you. Okay.
That Jamie, is the way it works.
Yep.
Jamie, how's Big 12 volleyball going?
Not the greatest.
Yeah, leaves a little bit to be desired. Couple of NCAA upsets. I honestly kind of lost who actually did win. I was sad. Iowa State lost to Hawaii. That was a big old bummer.
Ooh.
To be real. Yeah. Who's still playing? Is anyone
Kansas
still
women
playing?
Lost to Penn State. In the second round, Texas in a ridiculously thrilling match.
Kansas is still, Texas is still going. And then a future team, Arizona State. They're in there, I think.
Hey, hey. Yep. Yeah.
Yes, they beat BYU in the second round as well. So.
So that's where we're at. Pretty much a bummer, honestly. The only hope is Texas, and that doesn't feel like a lot of
much of a hope.
Hope, not as far as how good they are. As far as I'm not cheering for Texas.
Pretty not good. Okay, got it. Hoops continues. Obviously, we'll be doing more hoops now that football is just about over. If you'd like more hoops talk. Midwest Madness, our Big 12 basketball podcast has you covered, but let's do this real quick. Also, our good friend Justin Carter is going to be doing a monthly article for us on the 1012 Network Patreon in regards to Big 12 women's hoops. If that is something that you care about, all you got to do is sign up for the 1012 Network Patreon, pick the show that you want to support, $5 a month. You get access to everything that we provide there on the Patreon. He did a starting 5-1 /some for the first month of the season. It's really good. You should go and check that out. So if you're a subscriber, go give it a read. If you are not, get signed up. It is just the latest piece of content that we have put out. We're going to keep trying to put out more. And it is all random. Y'all, it's written content. There's a podcast episode. There's interview. Like, it's all over the map. So go be a subscriber and support the 1012 Network. It helps everyone in the network. So we would appreciate it. Jamie, what are just your thoughts after the first month on Big 12 Women's Hoops?
It's interesting. There's a lot happening there. It's funny. My my guy, Mark Schindler, he was saying the other day, he covers, I mean, all everything women's basketball. He's great. But he said, the more that I watch the Big 12, the less I understand it. and I'm actually about to record an episode with him for his podcast. And so we'll really get into the nitty gritty on that. But I don't know. There's a lot of teams that have potential. There's a lot of players that have really been impressive so far. But part of the issue with early season with non-conference is that people play extremely different schedules. So it's hard to judge right now. Texas picked up a really big win over UConn today. Obviously, UConn's ranks a little bit thin, but they are still really a terrific team. Baylor has looked really impressive as well. I mean, they a while back picked up a win over Utah. They took down Oregon today pretty handily. So yeah, it's interesting. I think I've been most impressed with the way that Aoka Lee's performed. I said before the season, I was really unsure about how she'd come back. And a lot of K-State's ceiling was dependent on that. Well, their ceiling has been raised significantly because she looks very good. So I don't know. I'm excited. There's a lot of really good matchups coming up here in December. There's plenty of teams that will schedule a little bit easier to start out in the first month and then maybe give themselves a challenge or two in December. There's plenty more teams that really aren't going to face anyone until we get to conference play. So there's still going to be question marks. But there are,
and then there's Kansas.
Kansas has put themselves through the ringer a little bit, but yeah,
on the road at Penn State, on the road at Texas A&M, and then two neutral site games against Virginia Tech and UConn.
You know, you can't really be surprised by anything after that.
Oh no, no. Right.
But yeah, that's definitely been a heck of a stretch there for them. So I'm sure that they'll be happy to get back home to Allen Fieldhouse and hopefully get a couple of maybe cruising through some games. But no, I'm excited. This is getting to the point of the season where you can start actually figuring some things out about people. So no, I'm really looking forward to it. Some young performers have been really good. I shared a great stat, good stat. Went over to Her Hoop Stats. I searched it today, again, Sunday. Addie Brown, my Cyclone, she was the first Iowa State freshman to record 10 assists since Emily Ryan did it in 2020. When Emily did it, she had 20 points, 10 assists, and a win over Drake. Today, Addie had 24 points, 10 assists. I thought, you know what? Has anyone else done it for Iowa State since they started keeping these stats on Her Hoop Stats? So 09-10 season. No one else for Iowa State. Thought Big 12, there's got to be a couple. No one else in the Big 12 has done it in that time either. Rory Harmon had a 20.9 assist game. Serena Sundell had a 20.9 assist game. There's a couple more. And then nationally in that time, there's been 26 total. So that's pretty impressive. Addie Brown, she's incredible. I'll talk about her plenty more, but there's some, I mean, nationally, there's a bunch of really impressive freshmen, and that's definitely going to be the case in the Big 12 as well.
Some games to keep an eye on this week. We've got the Backyard Brawl on Monday, West Virginia 7-0 hosting Penn State 7-1. We have on Wednesday, we've got Cy-Hawk, Iowa State hosting Iowa. That should be fun. And then I believe it's on Saturday. Yeah, Kansas State at Missouri. So we got three rivalry games this week for the Big 12. Very exciting. Andy, men's hoops. How are we looking?
Oh, my gosh. Like, there is men's hoops. There's a ton of fantastic teams in men's hoops, and it's – it's ridiculous. I can't possibly go through all of them. There were some really big games this week, though, highlighted by the last two national champions facing off in Allen Fieldhouse on Friday. It was a back and forth game that was very entertaining. And, you know, honestly, I think one of the weirdest things to come out of it, though, was UConn fans or parents complaining about having to be up in the overflow because they didn't ask for tickets in time. But no, I mean, just fantastic stuff back and forth across all. Houston is number one in KenPom right now. So, you know, Kansas is not the best team. BYU is undefeated and number seven in KenPom, whereas Kansas is number nine. So there are some unexpected and yet absolutely fantastic teams in the Big 12 that are all going to make this just the most ridiculous conference ever. I think we say that every single year, and every single year it just gets even crazier. So of the 14 teams in the Big 12, let's see, nine of them are in the top 33 in KenPom. That's how ridiculous we are right now. You've got Houston at one, Baylor at six, BYU at eight, sorry. Kansas at 10. I'm guessing some of the Sunday stuff shuffled people around. 23 is Iowa State. Oklahoma's 25. Cincinnati's 29. Texas is 30. TCU's 33. And then not that far behind, we have Texas Tech and Kansas State at 52 and 53. So, yeah, it's a loaded conference. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Thank goodness that OSU and West Virginia are bad. Big 12 currently leads the Big 12 Big East battle 4-2-3 with four games to go. Tuesday, we have three of them. Kansas State hosting number 18 Villanova, number 25 Oklahoma hosting Providence, and number 9 Baylor hosting Seton Hall. And then the cross-conference battle ends on Wednesday with Texas, number 16 Texas, on the road at number 3 Marquette. So all big games to keep an eye on. Backyard brawl, men's side. I said the backyard brawl when it was Penn State, West Virginia. I'm sorry, y'all. I know better. I really do. It's hard to keep track of West Virginia's out-of-conference rivalries. Pitt, West Virginia is on Wednesday. Oh, man. I hung out of a lot of Christmas decorations today. That's all I'm going to say. I was on a ladder a lot, so maybe it's just messed with my head. And I had to air up a lot of large inflatable like ornaments that are on the lawn. Don't take this as me complaining. I like decorating for Christmas, especially the outside of the house. We do get the Cy Hawk again on the men's side on Thursday. Iowa State hosting Iowa. And then Saturday gives us, let me read this slate for Saturday to you because this is fun.
Yeah.
Oklahoma facing Arkansas in Tulsa. Kansas State and LSU facing off. TCU and Clemson. Kansas and Missouri. Cincinnati Xavier and BYU Utah. That's not the full slate, but that is an absolutely fantastic. I want to get into Big 12 basketball. It's time to start paying attention. I'm not sure you could get a better Saturday outside of conference play than what they're going to give you this coming Saturday. So you have no excuse to not enjoy some Big 12 men's basketball this coming Saturday with that slate that will be on TV. Okay.
And the best part is that it's all spread out to the point where you literally can watch wall-to-wall basketball have on two different screens and watch fantastic Big 12 matches all day long.
All right. We need to get out of here. We don't have games to project to look forward to this week as far as football because the season's just about over. I did want to have a little quick chat. I think Andy's mad at me about the All Big 12 awards. I don't know, nitpick about guys that should or shouldn't have been on there. So go ahead, Andy. What's your complaint?
No, literally my only complaint, like the only real complaint, is the fact you have Austin Booker as the defensive newcomer of the year, but he's not on the All Big 12 first team.
I mean, it's perfectly fine to give someone an award for a very specific category and then by being the newcomer, but then still not have been as good as maybe people who are already here.
You know, yeah, it's but I think the rest of the Big 12 people disagree with you. Considering he was first team.
That's fine. I'm not acting like I'm the know-all, end-all, be-all of choosing this stuff. I gave him newcomer. I thought that was appropriate. I didn't put him in on the team. So that's fine. Honestly, the only thing I would argue with is coach of the year. And I know Mike Gundy won it, and I understand why Mike Gundy won it. And yes, I'm an Oklahoma State fan, but I didn't pick Mike Gundy. I picked Matt Campbell. And I understand why Matt Campbell didn't win Coach of the Year when you led a team to 7-5.
But considering everything that happened at the beginning of the year, like it was pretty impressive.
I think Neil Brown had an incredibly strong case going from a team that was picked to finish last, going 8-4. And to those of you irritated by Texas fans saying Sarkisian should have won it, you all said Texas was overrated and they haven't ever done anything with all the talent. They were picked to finish first and they actually finished first. for Texas, that's a hell of an achievement. So I'm going to give Sarkisian credit for doing the thing he was supposed to do with the talent, because it's not like anybody else has been doing the thing they were supposed to do with the talent with Texas for the last decade plus. So yes, he deserves some credit for finally building Texas into a really good team. And the way they've ended the season, I could understand him winning Coach of the Year. So like I don't think it should have been Mike Gundy. Like, I understand why it was Mike Gundy. That's fine. I understand the case for it. It's not who I picked, and I'm not sure it should have been him. I don't think he was. I think there's three other guys that had a better case.
Tell you, Philip, I think Dave Aranda should have won it for how many great practices they apparently had this season.
And man, he won so many press conferences.
Not at the end of the year, man.
Like, golly, we had such a great practice before we went out and got our doors blown off during the game.
That feels like a great place to end it on. We will be back on Thursday. You're going to ask me what with. I do not know. We will do bowl picks next week. The schedule might get a little bit weird through the end of the year. Might be a little bit hit and miss. I got a lot of stuff to get done before the end of the year for work, so we'll see what happens. The holidays are what the holidays are. We will not have episodes the week of Christmas or for New Year's Day. I'm not doing that. Don't ask me. I'm going to do an episode on New Year's Eve.
If we're ever busy, I can just talk to myself for an hour and you can publish it.
Oh, Jamie, could you just do that for like next Monday's episode? That would be awesome.
I'll monologue.
I'll let Andy and Jamie just do basketball. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to have other things. Follow us on Twitter, 1012 Network. Follow Jamie at jsteyz, J-S-T-E-Y-Z. Andy Mitz 12, that's two T's in Mitz, is Andy on Twitter. John, remind everyone, plug it all, sir.
We're over at CFP Resume Ranks. All of your data needs, no bias, no wishy-wash, nothing where you have to worry about, from a coaching standpoint, who are you going to play and, you know, what do 13 old curmudgeons in a room think? It's just the data that you want on college football. So come and find us. We're over there. And big fans of the Big 12.
All Big 12 is the Big 12. Y'all enjoy your week. We'll be back on Thursday. I don't know with, but I'm sure it'll be worth listening to.
Sports Social Podcast Network.